Hello and welcome to another edition of the South Carolina Business Review. This is Mike Switzer. Late last year, we spoke with our next guest about our state's textile mill revitalization tax credit designed to rehabilitate old textile mills and turn them into economic opportunities. Many mills have taken advantage of this, but what about the blight that still surrounds some of these old mills? Well, the Department of Revenue has just issued new guidance on this topic, and Philip Land is going to tell us about it. He's an attorney with Haynesworth Sinclair Boyd, and he joins us now by phone from his office in Greenville, South Carolina. Philip, welcome back to the program.
Mike, great to be on. Thanks for having me.
All right, and so what's new now?
What's new? It's the right question. Many of us across the state can very easily see the success of this program. In each corner, in every pocket of the state, there's probably a mill that's been revitalized and is now a bustling center for residential or mixed use with breweries and shops and residential housing. The biggest question that the rulemakers were facing is, well, what do we do with the surrounding community? Because if you can think of that mill near your community, think about the housing and the nature of the buildings that are still around it. And there was a big open question as to whether that surrounding property was going to count for the credit itself. And prior guidance had really made us think that maybe not. You know, if the mill's been renovated or the mill's already been demolished, maybe you don't get the benefit of the credit. So Department of Revenue finally weighed in on that question.
And
good news for developers. The credit is largely going to apply to adjacent parcels where the mill has already been renovated or already been demolished. It's not without strings attached, as you can imagine. These are called 4B sites, a reference to the law, and the 4B is the one that gives us our guidance and regulation. The guidance, it has to be in an economically distressed area. There are a number of other requirements, and then there's caps on the square footage. That by and large, this has generally been received as very good and welcoming to new investment in the adjacent parcels.
So are you seeing, since this has been announced, this new ruling, that developers are starting to line up, offering to buy some of these properties?
My evidence is anecdotal, but I will say that the swell of positivity in the practitioner community, like your lawyers and your accountants, and the swell in the developer community has been overwhelmingly positive here. The way that this whole credit is structured, and depending on the risk tolerance of the developer, they probably could have gone ahead and started doing some of this under prior guidance. And so for many deals, you know, this is like really encouraging guidance that this is kind of what we thought was the case. And fortunately, the Department of Revenue came out and agreed. And then certainly now there's a lot of confidence in the development community that they can go buy that parcel nearby. And under the right circumstances, they can receive a tax credit, a lucrative tax credit, for the rehabilitation expenses that they occur in that area next door.
And I guess for each case would have to be evaluated by the DOR or by a law firm that is you know, thick into the weeds of this?
Sure. So we certainly help, and firms like Haynesworth do a lot of this type of work, and a lot of our competitors are great at it too. There's a really good community of practitioners around this topic who really banded together to encourage Department of Revenue to have this outcome. The local communities actually can weigh in on whether the site qualifies. So your city or your county can say, you know what, this site qualifies, and your legal counsel often works with the developer in order to get that certification. And when you get that certification, then the taxpayer, the developer here, can rely conclusively on it, meaning they can move forward and not worry about later argument over whether the site qualified. And let me add one other point, which is these communities, these cities and counties had really been in a hard position on these adjacent parcel deals because they weren't sure what Department of Revenue guidance was, and they were hesitant to certify those. I think you'll see a lot more cities and a lot more counties very comfortable certifying these adjacent parcel projects as qualifying under the revised revenue guidance.
Well, Philip, thank you so much for the update.
Glad to do it. Good to be back on the show. Thanks, Mike.
Philip Land is an attorney with Haynesworth Sinclair Boyd. He joined us by phone from his office in Greenville, South Carolina. Remember, you can hear this show again at our webpage, southcarolinapublicradio.org. And you can hear it again wherever you find podcasts. With the South Carolina Business Review, this is Mike Switzer.
The views expressed on the South Carolina Business Review do not necessarily reflect those of South Carolina Public Radio.